Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today's episode is Four Questions with Jeremy Radden and Caroline Gottlieb. You should know, though you might not, that they are the team that brought us the great film Shark Week that pulled in three awards at Film Invasion LA in 2018. Shark Week was a live play that the two of them would perform, and Caroline, as producer, spearheaded transferring it to film, and Jeremy directed the script that he had written. And it is a beautiful, fantastic film, so I do highly recommend that you watch it by going to Amazon Prime Video. Go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and it is in Season 2, Episode 3. And as superb as Shark Week is, this is not a podcast about Shark Week. This is the Discover Indie Film Four Questions, which is a fun thing I tack on to the end of a Discover Indie Film interview. To find out more about the filmmakers, I ask them their favorite films, a film they think is underrated, a film they think is overrated, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. I don't think I have to do any more setup. Let's find out what these two brilliant actors and talented filmmakers have as their answers for those Discover Indie Film Four questions.
It's almost easier to just say one.
But I have one. I mean, look, this is my favorite movie of all time is Jaws.
I knew you were going to say that.
It is my all-time, like, it's perfect. It's got great writing. It's got great acting. And a thing that I love about it is that it is a brilliant and wonderful movie because of an accident, or several accidents, I guess. Because that stupid mechanical shark didn't work, he had to come up with the idea for the barrels, which is terrifying. And that, like, creates all this tension and, like, lets you understand the strength of the... It, like, was this lesson on danger. But, yeah, like, that... My favorite scene in any movie is the bottom of the boat scene where Robert Shaw does that monologue about the USS Indianapolis.
and just listening to you talk about it, it makes me think that most of those scenes with those three actors together, mm-hmm. they're like plays on that boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that boat becomes this little stage, and they're engrossed in this, like, in this literally mythic drama. You know, like, it is myth. That's the story ends up being a piece of mythology. I mean, it's, you know, it's based on Moby Dick, and which is based on the fucking Bible. So it's like this Bible story acted out on this tiny little boat in the middle of the ocean. And I think it's just an incredibly powerful and fun. And also talk about a movie that, like, ruined an industry for a time.
A little bit, yeah, I know people blame Star Wars, but that came first.
Right. Yeah. Well, it ruined, and I'm talking about, especially it ruined, like, the beach industry for a while.
Yeah.
Like, people didn't go to the beach. People yeah. wouldn't get in the ocean.
Like, when I was 10, I was a little afraid to swim in a pool.
Yeah.
Like, you
yeah.
just picture yeah. a shark behind you.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, it was always for me, it was like, it's going to come out of the drain.
It has been years since I've watched Jaws. I'm going to go home today and
it's
watch
so
Jaws.
Good. But top three, like,
sure,
maybe?
You can do it.
So, Jaws, I think Young Frankenstein is my favorite comedy. That and Blazing Saddles, but I think Young mm-hmm. Frankenstein is the better movie. Mm-hmm. Blazing Saddles is like moment for moment, one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But the whole thing of Young Frankenstein and that Gene Wilder performance and mm-hmm. Marty Feldman, I mean, it's so good.
Yeah, did you hear that Gene Wilder had to fight for the putting on the Ritz scene?
Did he?
Yeah, Mel Brooks didn't think it would be funny. And Gene Wilder is like, let's just do it.
Because
Gene Wilder, they wrote the yeah. script together.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't just the actor. Yeah, he
yeah.
was
wow. brilliant.
Gene Wilder is a
brilliant
guy.
Brilliant.
And just maybe I would put him in one of the top five actors of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He is so good. And yeah, but then you got that Madeleine Kahn performance too. And fucking, what's her name?
Terry Garr?
Frau Blücher.
Yeah.
Cloris Leachman.
Oh, Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman is Frau Blücher. Terry Garr is his assistant.
Yes.
The rolling the hay, you know her.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
but
it.
I always remember him going, put the squish
put
face.
The candle back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. And it's totally quotable. yeah. So those two are like two all-time faves. And then everything else kind of, you know, All About Eve is up there.
Classic Hollywood.
Oh my God, that movie is perfect.
Yeah.
That movie is so great. Yeah, I mean, there's so many, but
so those, many.
Yeah, Jurassic Park for me is up. But that's really because of, like, I saw it when I was 10 and in the theater seven times.
But it actually is.
Dinosaurs.
It's so good.
An amazing film.
It's dinosaurs, yeah. Yeah, it's beautifully told.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, yeah, like the moment, one of my other favorite moments in any movie is when Laura Dern is studying that leaf in the Jeep. And she's like, this species of whatever hasn't been seen on Earth since. And then Sam Neill turns her head and she lifts herself out of the Jeep with that look on her face. And then it goes to the shot of the first time you see the full brachiosaur.
Yeah.
And it was just like Laura Dern was all of us in that moment. Yeah. We were like, her acting really made that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are my faves.
All right. Well, Caroline, you get my to do
turn.
Yours.
Okay. Well, I feel like I didn't fully prepare to answer these questions because I knew that our conversation would sort of spark different things and whatnot. But I feel like because we were talking about our Jewishness, I feel the need to say how, and you will obviously agree with me, that Fiddler on the Roof is one of my, it is one of my definitely top three favorite movies, not only because of the beautiful story, but just because of how closely connected I feel to those people and to the story and to the tradition of like just everything.
That's my favorite movie musical.
Yeah.
And it's not close.
And I knew that we would have that. I know that you love that film and that story.
That's my dream role.
Yeah. Yeah. Tevye. You're Tevye.
Yeah. It's my dream role.
But I love Fiddler on the Roof. But then there's that side of me, but I love horror films. Mm. So I feel like I need to bring up Hereditary, which is a recent horror film that I saw, that I think is beyond just being a horror film. There's everything in that film. I feel like it's easy for horror to lose depth, and Hereditary has all the depth. Toni Collette is unbelievable.
She should have won an Oscar.
Oscar worthy.
She wasn't even nominated.
And not even nominated. And it's a shame. And the only reason is because it is a horror film. Mm. And horror isn't recognized by the Academy.
That scene at the dinner table?
It's just, everything about Hereditary is just, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's number two. And then I have to say, it's another sort of musical film. Like, I want to say 2001 A Space Odyssey because I love Stanley Kubrick, but I also feel like I need to say Tommy.
Tommy?
Yes,
The Who?
Yes.
She loves The Who. Caroline is like a hardcore Who fanatic.
I have a Who tattoo, and it's all because of my mom. My mom raised me. Her license plate on her car my whole childhood was Who Are You? She still has the license plate. She's been to, like, at least 40 of their shows. Know who she is.
Who is, yeah.
So my mom was like, this is who you love. And I do. And it's honestly not just because she forced it upon me. It's because I think that their music is Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey, all of them, Keith Moon, obviously John Entwistle, like just a group of brilliant, a perfect group of people to be in a band together. But yeah, back to the film. Tommy, I think, is an incredible story. And the movie is really, really, really good.
The movie is good. Nicholas Roeg directed.
Ken Russell. I was going to say
Russell. Yes, I knew it was like one of those brilliant 70s directors.
So he also did Listomania, which is also, I love, obviously, because Roger Daltrey is in it, but I think in terms of, like, what's a better
movie?
Well,
he did a lot of art films.
Tommy,
he's a very cool.
Yeah, so
Quadrophenia, too.
Quadrophenia, well, Quadrophenia is my favorite album from them.
Me too. That's my favorite album.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, those are a few that I love.
That's cool. Tommy finally got a mention.
Tommy, was that, yeah, it's leave it to me. Yeah, my mom's going to be so happy when she hears this.
I'm like reassessing everything with Fiddler.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said it for the both of us. Yeah.
Well, and it's theater people, obviously.
Yeah, and I knew.
Also, I grew up on it.
Yeah.
I mean, when we would walk to our cars, like in a parking lot, there's actually a line about this in the play. Our mom and aunt, who both love the movie, would yell at each other. They'd be, "We're staying at Uncle Avrum's. We're staying at Uncle Avrum's. The whole world has to know our business." Like these things were like very, very formative moments in my childhood.
Yeah.
Come from that movie.
I know. Me too. So that's really why I mentioned it.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of people know every song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't even seen it. But like those songs are are just locked
Sunrise,
into the culture.
Sunrise, Sunset, yeah, they're it's so like a beautiful lullaby. Yeah,
I read the play and I cry.
I actually heard those songs at high holiday services as a kid and didn't know that the synagogue was stealing it from a musical.
One of my favorite stories about that movie is that Norman Jewison directed it, and when they asked him to direct it, he was like, "You know, I'm not Jewish, right?" Not a Jew. Oh, Norman Jewison, not a Jew.
I never knew that.
He was like, "I don't know if this is right, if I should do this." And they're like, no. I also think Topol is the best and only Tevye. You know, I'm sorry. I apologize to all Zero Mostel stands out there. But for me, Topol is like the one.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fiddler.
All right, well, now you get to do something you think is underrated.
Underrated. Okay. Underrated. I hesitate saying this because I think she does get credit and she does have, I'll just say, I think Britt Marling's films are underrated.
No, definitely.
Sound of My Voice, Another Earth, which is one of my favorite films. What is the other one? But anyway, I think Britt Marling is severely underrated.
For sure. Question four is lesser known that people should seek out, but I never heard of her until The OA on Netflix.
Exactly.
Which I thought was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Oh, and The East.
And then I found out she's made these films.
Yeah.
And I've actually, for like 2-3 years now, been like, I gotta see these films. Yeah. I still haven't.
So, yeah.
So now you're lighting a fire under my ass to finally see.
Yeah. Underrated. The East, Another Earth, Sound of My Voice are all Britt Marling films, and I think are very underrated. Even like the literal IMDb ratings of these films are like 6.
Mm.
When like
IMDb's Another full
Earth,
of haters.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Another Earth like changed my life in a way. So yeah, that's my answer for that one.
Okay, underrated.
Okay, so I got to go back for this one. This was really hard. But there is a 1956 movie called The Court Jester. Do you know this movie?
No.
It's a Danny Kaye movie. Do you know Danny Kaye?
Of course. I know Danny Kaye.
Danny Kaye is the greatest, potentially the greatest song and dance man of all time. I think he's was there will never be another Danny Kaye. Daniel Kandinsky, I think, was something like that was his real name. He was a Jew who like passed as an Irishman. Anyway, it's him. It's right at the end of when this style of comedy was in fashion. It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And I grew up on it, but even now, like, I think it is so, to me, it should be like part of one of these movies that's like part of the lexicon. Mm. There are certain things in that movie, like these wordplay jokes, and then watching, there's this thing where when he has a spell put on him and when this witch snaps, he becomes a brilliant fencer. But then she snaps again and he's a terrible fencer. And to watch Danny Kaye switch from like incredible brilliant fencing to like not knowing what to do with a sword.
Right, the physical comedy.
Oh my, the physical comedy is, and the bad guy is like Basil Rathbone is in it. A young Angela Lansbury is in it. Glynis Johns.
Oh.
It is great. And nobody knows it. Not enough people know Danny Kaye, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up on in the 70s seeing Danny Kaye movies, you know.
Which
on
ones?
TV.
Which ones did you watch?
I can't tell you. I just remember
like
thinking
White Christmas.
He was hilarious.
Did you ever see Wonder Man?
I don't even know the name because, you know, it was God. Well, in L.A., it was Channel 5 at 5, 9, 11, 13. Like, you know, all through the 70s, they just showed old movies all the time.
Yeah. Well, they do you know which one he did that they actually remade was The Secret Life of Walter Mitty that they redid with Ben.
I heard
the
remake is good, but it's I haven't seen it.
It's okay. You got to see his. Because it's him, is this guy with this rich fantasy life, and he has all these fantasies where he's these other people. In life, he's like this kind of nebbishy guy, but then he'll become like a gangster, a boxer, and he just plays him. He's perfect. He will never see another one quite like Danny Kaye. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, for sure. He's one of the golden era, probably started on vaudeville. Catskills.
Catskills. Yeah, and the Borscht Belt. Yeah.
And just amazing training.
Yeah.
Amazing talent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we've done underrated. Now comes the fun of overrated.
Oh, yeah, this is a dangerous.
Which you don't have to feel like you're casting shade. Yeah. You could even love your overrated pick.
Yeah.
Just saying that the awards or the praise is maybe overdone a little.
I have two.
Excellent.
The first one, and this is going to make a lot of people mad, is Goonies.
Uh-huh.
Goonies is just a bad movie. And it is 1,000,000% powered by nostalgia. I did not see it as a kid. I saw it as an adult, and I was like, this movie is just bad. Sound editing is bad. Everything is bad. It's a crappy movie. But I understand the thing of like people, it was part of people's childhood.
It's campy,
but it was, but more than that, it's like this nostalgic thing.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
The Goonies for some people. You know, it was like the Princess Bride or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that one. And then the other one that I didn't know if I wanted to say, but I really think Inglourious Basterds is an overrated movie. I think it runs on the strength of two very good performances. I mean, Christoph Waltz is, you know, carries the entire thing.
Yeah.
And I think, is the girl Melanie Laurent, is that her?
Yes.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
She's incredible.
Yeah. She gives a beautiful, beautiful performance. And then there are other, like, side performances that are great. But as a whole, the movie feels, like, disjointed to me and uneven. And, the movie is called The Inglourious Basterds, but we barely see them. I also feel weird about Quentin Tarantino making a Jew revenge movie, the same way that I feel weird about him making a black revenge movie, like with Django Unchained. I'm a little bit like, I don't need you to tell that story, my man. Mm. I just felt that like, it felt like the kind of movie where I bet the script was way better than what we ended up with.
Fair enough, because I know a lot of people call it his best.
Yeah.
So saying it's over. I've heard that Melanie Laurent directs.
Does she?
Writes and directs a lot of films in France.
I would love to see her
And
work.
I hear they're must-sees. So
yeah, I would love to see her
maybe
work.
Try to look them up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. Two overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can only think of one at the moment. This question makes me nervous. I think Inception is overrated.
Yes.
Okay. So I like Leonardo DiCaprio. I think he's great. I like Ellen Page. I think she's awesome. But I think that Inception is this sort of, people think it's this, there's no heart. There's no emotion. It's all about the audience. It's like a trap for the audience member feeling like I have to follow the logic of what's going on in this film. And I feel like it's designed to make you feel stupid. Maybe that's a personal thing.
I also think that Christopher Nolan has a thing where like a lot of his, especially that one.
Yeah.
Is like, reminds me of a bunch of college dudes in a dorm room at 2 a.m. smoking weed.
Exactly.
And being like, oh, man, I just had the fucking awesomest idea.
Well, I think it's he and his brother pull this stuff out.
But usually with those ideas, you wake up the next morning and you, like, listen to the tape recorder or you look at what you wrote.
You're like,
man, I wrote some brilliant shit last night.
Yeah.
And then you read it and you're like, oh, this is gibberish.
Yes, thank you.
But nobody told him that it was gibberish. Yeah.
So, like,
I don't like
I'm not saying I didn't enjoy watching it.
Yeah,
I was like, I tried to follow and I was interested in what was going on in a way, but there were moments where I was like, this is just, I feel attacked as an audience member that I have to follow the logic of what's going on, without feeling any sort of connection to the characters or to, there was no emotion.
Yeah, fair enough. And I for some reason, I want to chime in that I love Ellen Page. Yeah. I think she was totally miscast in that
one. Yeah.
I feel like it just didn't, that didn't work for me. Yeah. It felt like, well, let's throw in, you know, to help the demographics.
Yeah, because we can get her.
Right.
The other thing is that movie has, there's two Leonardo DiCaprios. There's the Leonardo DiCaprio who smiles and Leonardo DiCaprio who doesn't smile. And the first one is great and the second one is not great. And that movie has the second one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio is, when he tries to go against his charm, mm-hmm. like he's so fucking charming.
He's so charming.
He was so good in Wolf of Wall Street. He was mm-hmm. he was great in Django Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
But when he does those movies where he's like brooding guy, I'm not interested.
Not interested.
Yeah.
I love it. By the way, two of my favorite films is Inglourious and I love Inglourious and Inception, but I also love when people think they're overrated.
Yeah,
I think
that's
the whole point. So if it weren't for people like me, they wouldn't be overrated for you.
I know.
I'm like, of all the Nolan films, I think it might be Memento best and then Inception.
Memento is definitely an incredible movie, but it's the same sort of Nolan thing that is like, watch what I'm doing with this logical sort.
Although at least it's not a puzzle
line.
You can't figure out.
Right.
Like, it's actually
totally.
Quite linear,
absolutely, in a different way. Yeah.
It reminds me of Mulholland Drive, which is actually mm-hmm. one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
That's a great film. Although one of my least favorite Lynch's, but it's still
film. I love. Also, it was supposed to be a series.
I guess
it's supposed to be an ABC series, But I die for
that
movie.
I like that movie too. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to put Lynch in your top
list
because they're so unique.
Yeah.
Like, what itch do they scratch? Like, even though I will forever love everything he does pretty much.
Eraserhead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy. Blue Velvet.
Blue Velvet.
I mean, I saw Inland Empire. That was pretty I couldn't parse any part of it. But then I love Lost Highway. I love Wild. I think Wild at Heart is an underrated David Lynch movie.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because people get a little too focused on like the Elvis-y impression.
Yeah.
But
like Willem Dafoe in that is absolutely terrifying with those tiny teeth.
True.
So scary.
To sum up David Lynch, Mulholland Drive, when Bill Paxton like sets the tape down and then she sits down and goes, "What is that?" And he goes, "It's a videotape."
Right.
Yeah.
Like, every time I stand, I'm like, David Lynch.
Yeah, he's the best.
What's better than characters stating the obvious to each other for no reason at all?
I love him too.
Yeah. What a great.
Oh, even though you both named films I have to look up and watch, mm-hmm. and of course there's no time in life for it anymore, but the last question is a lesser known film, that like a hidden gem that people should seek out.
Sure. I feel like with a question like that, naturally, like, think of my peers and who has made films recently that I think people should seek out. And a friend of mine, I'm proud to say he's a friend of mine, an acquaintance, I guess you can say. I don't know what he would call me, but I think I could call him a friend. His name's Drake Doremus. He's a pretty big director, but I feel like his films could be more known. And he has one with Felicity Jones and Anton Yelchin, who he was really good friends with, who tragically passed away a few years ago. But it's called, I'm blanking on the name of the movie, Like Crazy. Yes. So Drake Doremus, he's well known, I think, but could be more known. And this film called Like Crazy with Anton Yelchin and Felicity Jones,
I think are both
beautiful.
Incredible.
It is an absolute tragedy that he's not on this earth anymore to make more movies, Anton. But that's Like Crazy, Drake Doremus. Cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have a specific one. I think for me, this is like as much of a reminder to myself, which is I want to be watching more movies written, directed, produced by women of color. I think that's a thing that's like lacking right now. Is that kind of representation. And I think as an artist in 2019, I think as a white artist in 2019, I think it's my responsibility to go and seek out those stories and to do a better job of like curating those lists for myself. So I guess, and adjacent, it isn't a woman of color, but the movie that I would say, even though it won the Oscar and that a lot of people saw. I wish everybody would watch Moonlight.
Such an incredible film.
I think that that's a movie that really, like, what it says in terms of desire and loneliness from an angle we've never like been allowed to see. I think that and some of the most stirring performances, mm-hmm. Mahershala Ali in that is just unbelievable and heartbreaking. And I remember leaving that theater going like, I wish every movie was like that.
Yeah.
That speaks across so many lines and was a black story. Like, and that, I don't know if you know the playwright who wrote it, Terrell Alvin McCraney, but like his plays are gorgeous. They're gorgeous. And what he does. And so he creates this black story, but then I go in and watch it and I'm like, I have felt all of those feelings and it closes a gap.
Mm. That's beautiful.
And I think that movie is could be even more. I wish it was even more watched. I wish everybody could watch it.
And it's proof that quality storytelling and amazing acting and
it's
character.
Everything.
That's what makes a great film. It's not the bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Man, you ask these questions and like my brain just goes this and this and this.
And that was Caroline Gottlieb and Jeremy Radden answering the Discover Indie Film 4 questions. As I said in the intro, you should totally watch their film Shark Week. Jeremy wrote and directed it. Caroline produced it. They're the two featured players in it, and it is brilliant. So go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and check out Season 2, Episode 3, although you could check out all three seasons. If you love indie films, that is an anthology of completely independent indie films. And they're all made with passion, and they're all really wonderful. Now is the time I'll wrap everything up with some mentions. Jeremy and Caroline, their film won 3 awards at Filmvasion Los Angeles. That is a film festival I program that's every June in L.A. If you want to learn more about it, go to FilmInvasionLA.com or on social media, it's at FilmInvasionLA. And I also program the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that takes place every November. That's ShermanOaksFilmFestival.com or ShermanOaksFF.com. And on social media, it's at ShermanOaksFF. One last big thank you to Caroline and Jeremy for coming in, doing an interview, and then answering the 4 questions. And yeah, that was super fun that Jeremy finally outed me for the famous 4 questions of Passover in Jewish tradition. And I'll thank you for listening.